This is on the authority of your word. And he got result. He got result. David said, I did this on the authority of God's word and got result. And David said, I did this. Elijah said, I did this at thy word, on the authority of your word, and got result. So the scripture teaches us, obviously, that God's word is light unto our, lamp unto our feet, and light that shows the path that we follow. So the Holy Spirit guides us through the path of the word of God to align ourselves with what God is doing, to align ourselves with what God is doing. So therefore, one of the ways he helps us in prayer to pray successfully is to show us through the scriptures how to pray and get result every single time. Every single time. Every single time. So when you pray on the authority of his word. Every single time. And the Holy Spirit told the church, he says, he that had ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He says, if you have ear to hear, you should listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Unto who? Come on, church. Unto who? The churches. And Jesus said, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. So we must develop ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And the reason is because in order for you and me to live as sons of God and enjoy the privileges of sons of God and live the life that the Bible says that honors God, that is worthy of his name, in order for us to live as sons of God, to live in the blessings of sons of God, to live in everything that God wants us to be as sons of God, that God can look at and say, yeah, that's my son. If in order for us to live in the benefits and the glory and honor of sons of God, we must be led of the Spirit. I want that to sink. In order for you and I to live in all the privileges of sons of God, to experience it, to have the reality of it, in order for us to have it in every area of our life, we must be led of the Holy Spirit. And that includes prayer. That includes my daily life. That includes the job I do. That includes my family. That includes how I relate with my wife, my children. In order to experience all the fullness of Christ, all the fullness of the benefit of being a child of God, a son of God, you must be led of the Holy Spirit. Because the key thing in the kingdom of God is everything works at the authority of his word. He said that God does all things according to his will. According to his will. His will directs what he does. That's why he says he places his word above his name. It's his word that directs his power. It's the word that directs what God does. God cannot get outside his word. He cannot violate his word because he doesn't even expect us to violate his word either. So, for you and me, again, let me repeat it. We want to walk in victory. We want to walk in health. We want to walk in prosperity. You want to walk in success, you must develop ears to hear the Holy Spirit. That's why God said to Joshua, he says, this book of the law must not what? Depart from it. You must do what to it? Meditate on it what? Not even day only. I say you've done. He said, no, day and night. He says, so that you will observe to do. And when you observe to do, then it's after that. If this, my word, is guiding you, he said, it's that time now you have success in all affairs of life. And if the devil wants to attack you, guess where he will attack you? It's in this area, because he knows if you don't follow things, if you do things that are not in the authority of divine word, that won't succeed. So he will try to put start, to hide it, to discourage you, to weaken you, to stop you, not to listen to the Holy Spirit. He would do everything in his power. Because he knows that if you do this thing on the authority of God's word, he has no chance at all of stopping you. He has no chance in this world anywhere to stop you. He knows. And I want to ask you as a Christian, I want you to watch your word, your life, and see that where you have the hardest time is studying the Bible. It's not even prayer, it's studying the Bible. Every Christian understands that where you have the hardest difficulty is to get up, study your Bible meaningfully, and to be in Bible classes. Check every church you know. Check every Christian you know. Do you know that it brings down, even ministers come down because of this. Even pastors come down. Big pastors that pastor thousands, they come down because of this. They get so busy that there's no more time for that which authorizes what we do. They get so busy doing legitimate things. Young Cho pastors a church of thousands, and he got so busy. And the Lord called me and said, your ministry is over. You are done. He said, how come? He said, because you don't come to study my word. So how can you succeed going forward? And the man canceled all visitation. If you read his book, you find it. He said, I canceled every visitation. Gone. I'm not visiting nobody. Do you understand that that was the same thing that Peter had to face and the apostles? Because the devil has always been around. So there was trouble in the church. And they went to Peter and said, sir, you know, you people are leaders. We are fighting in the kitchen. Can you come and settle that fighting? Peter said, no, there are mature people among you who can handle that. But we give ourselves to what? Minister of the word and prayer. We're not shifting from this thing. You can't distract us from this one thing. If anybody wants to succeed in ministry, you must understand this. The devil will attack you here. He will accuse you of not going to visit people. He will accuse you of not doing this. He will accuse you of not doing this. And if you're a fool, you fall for it and everything scatters. While you are busy making the people happy, you are busy making God unhappy. So in our individual lives, these are serious spiritual battles that every Christian must engage in and understand that we have to win it. Thank you. Thank you. We must engage in and understand. I want you to go to every church. I'm not joking. Go and check the people that go to Bible studies in every church you go. You've been Christians for a long time. Tell yourself if what I'm telling is not true. Sunday morning, churches are packed. The Bible studies. Every church, go around. Check since you became a Christian. And you yourself, check yourself and how much consistent you've been in studying the Bible. And the key to this is to develop love for the word of God. Because the writer of 1 John said, he said, I'm glad that my children love your word. Because that's the key. And one of the prayers I pray for all of us is that God will cause us to love his word. Because without loving his word, it becomes a struggle. It becomes a real struggle. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So for us to live as successfully as children of God, we need to understand the need to follow the word of God. And there is this trap that the enemy lays. He dresses it up in religious stuff. I'm telling people the truth. I said here something. I said, we need to grow spiritually so you can discern something the devil is doing that looks good. That's why it's called deceit. Because it has to look good now to attract you. It has to look religious to attract you. That's why it's called deceit. Deceit is something that looks okay, but underlining it is a diabolical intention. So the Pharisees were so busy doing evangelism Jesus said that they will traverse seas to go and get disciples. And they will pray on the street. At the drop of a hat, they start praying. They were so zealous for the law that they were so perfect. But Jesus said to them, do you know that is the devil motivating all this? That's what he told them. He said, you are of your father, what? The devil. And his will, you will do. All these things you are doing is him motivating it. God has nothing to do with it. Lie. Now, how do you see somebody like Paul saying, concerning the law, perfect? Wouldn't you give him pass mark? But Jesus said, all you Pharisees, all bunch of you, you are all white as sepulchre. He said, those people you make disciples, you make them twice, children of what? Hell. But what you do looks religious. But it's the devil behind it. Now, if you don't grow spiritually, you will not discern this thing. You will not. And so there are things that we do that stops us from studying the Bible. They are religious things. And then, are we talking about following human reasoning in our lives? The Bible says there are ways that seem it what? Right. Why does it seem right? In my own eyes, it's okay. And I'm comfortable with it. But it's not under authority of the Word of God. And the Bible said that the end of such ventures is death. Again, I want you to listen. The devil uses it. He does. And he uses it to devastating effect. Because he knows the end thereof is death, so he will inspire you to do things by your own reasoning, because he knows that that is not of the divine authority, and it's going nowhere, that the end of it is death. It's death. That's why he wants this thing to end. He comes to kill, to destroy, to steal. So, Brother Peter was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, he said to the devil, get thee what? I know this is the second time that Jesus said to the devil, get thee behind. The first one was where? In the wilderness. When he said to the devil, get thee what? Get it hence. Now he told the devil again, he said, get thee behind me. And why was that? Peter was reasoning. Was using reasoning. And Jesus said, that's the devil using reasoning. That thing you are saying is not under authority of the Word of God. Brethren, what I'm telling you people will save you a lot of embarrassment. It will save you a lot of if I had known. It will save you a lot of what do I do now? It will save you a lot of trying to walk back a lot of stuff. John 8:33. John 8:33. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter, get away from me, Satan. He said, you are seeing things merely from human point of view, not from God's. See, the devil uses that. And so that includes prayer. There are prayers that are not of God. There are prayers that come from human reasoning, and God is not behind it. I do remember reading about my mentor talking about going to a church to preach, and then in that church they have this practice of praying before they start. And then I think they gathered to pray, and then he came in there. And the devil spoke up to him and said, why did you come here? He said, who told you to come here? He said, I give them their prayer topics. Why did you come here to bother us? That's what he asked him. He said, all the prayer they do, I give them. There are prayers that are not of God. They come from human reasoning. Jesus said, you see things from human point of view. Satan, get out of here. This is not from God's point of view. It's not based on divine word. It's not based on divine authority. So, because of that, we must understand that we are limited. to depend on our reasoning, even in prayer, we are severely limited, you and I, in knowledge. There are a lot of things happening around our lives. We don't even know where they're coming from. We have no idea. And we don't even know how to resolve it. So sometimes you can't really package your prayer from what you see. Romans 8:26. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray to. We do not know what to pray to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. This is the Holy Spirit writing to the churches and saying, if you have ear to hear, do what? Listen to me. Your prayer, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to pray. Period. He said, we don't. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. For we know in part. I love this one. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. So all the knowledge you have, the Holy Spirit again writes to me and to you and say, I want to let you know your knowledge is imperfect, it's fragmented, it's not complete. That's what he's saying. And our prophecy and our teaching is fragmented, incomplete, and imperfect too. Then Paul began to write about when Jesus will come. Because like I told you when we were studying the book of Romans, that the coming of Jesus was very, very prominent in all of Paul's writing. All of it. If you study the letters he wrote, it was so prominent in his writing, so prominent in the church. So he was telling the church to get ready at his coming. So in this particular place, he was also writing about when Jesus will come, when the perfect will come. Then the imperfect will become what? Perfect. When Jesus comes. But not before then. Let's continue and read the rest of it. Verse 10, please. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will what? Vanish away. Become antiquated, void, and superseded. Then continue. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I've become a man, I'm done with childish ways and have put them aside. He was comparing what is coming, like our natural growth. Then verse 12, we tell you that he's talking about the coming of verse 12. For now, everybody say for now. He said, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfect comes, that's when Jesus comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. We'll see him face to face. He said, but now we are limited in knowledge. And because we are limited in knowledge, how desperately we need the guidance of who? The Holy Spirit. That's why our team is fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. And that's why the Bible says we cannot judge righteous judgment. Because we don't have all the facts. We don't have all the facts. And so, when it comes to prayer, we must depend also on the Holy Spirit and what he teaches us and how to pray. You can't jump into prayer because they say, let us pray. You have to get to what he told you and how he instructs you to pray. If you're interested in result. And the thing about God is that there is a way God works. There's a way God doesn't work. And he won't change. There is no iota of change with God. God is not going to change. He is permanent the way he is. The Bible says, it says, I am God and I change it not. So there is a way that it works with God. There's a way it doesn't work with God. And you and I must understand it. But God says, I have my ways, but they are not exactly your what? Your ways. So there's a way it works with God. There's a way it doesn't work with God. For instance, if you want to hear more from God concerning revelations of the truth and your life, you must be prepared. And I want us to listen. Because you see, many people live frustrated life because they don't see results. They don't see anything. But because they don't know what to say, they just keep quiet. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. That's the way God works. The one way that God works, if God ever gives you a revelation of truth, because that's the treasure of heaven. That's the main treasure of heaven. Not these things that perish. That's what I was saying on Thursday, on Sunday. That, you know, the Lord said to me, say, all this, me say this, and say, they perish with time. Now. So that's not my main blessing. The main blessing is what Paul called, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. This revelation, this gospel truth. Now, he was so passionate about the gospel, he told Timothy, he said, preach this thing. Don't let them look down at your age. He said, preach it in season and out of season. He said, because this is the answer to human problem. So I found it out. God revealed it to me that this is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So if God gives you a revelation of divine treasure and you trample upon it, he's not giving you again. You're done. Then you'll be, you can be a Christian who even preach this thing with human reasoning. You can. Because human beings can do a lot. They can do a lot. Because God gave us a lot. Can do a lot. But that thing will not touch any spirit. It can stir emotions. People can even cry. It won't produce results. At the end of the day, we'll see any result. Why? Because God is not behind it. And somebody can come and teach the same thing with few words, and you see results. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, you people say I don't learn how to preach. He said, yeah, that's true. And he said that my speech is contemptible. He said, but see the result it produced, what? In you. So that you know that this is the power of God at work. So it's not eloquence, it's not everything, but see the result. He said, what change he brought? What change, what transformation it brought into your life? See, that's what matters at the end of the day. It's not how eloquent it was, but how transforming it is. You can see to your children that you can come and talk to your family with no reason. Somebody can come and talk to the same people, the same word you spoke. There's no difference between my preaching to you and talking to you on the street, talking to you in your house. There's no difference. It's the same Spirit of God that should be doing all of it. There's no demarcation between climbing on the pulpit and talking with you in the car. There shouldn't be any demarcation. Our words should be inspired of God. 24/7. That's why the Bible says when we speak, we should speak as what? Oracles of God. So it's not only when you stand up here, every one of us should be able to know that we should speak as oracles. And so when God gives you a revelation, he holds you responsible for what you do with it. If you deploy it and start responding to it, he will give you what? More. But if he notices that you don't value it, he says, I don't give my treasure to pigs. They will trample upon it. I won't do that. But that's exactly his way. He's telling us how he behaves. He said, I won't do this. No. You cannot force him. You can't fast him into doing it. You're just wasting your time. If you want him to give you more, go back to the ones he gave you. Dust it up. Start doing it. Gives you more. You don't have to fast about it. That's exactly. He has his ways about him. You can't wring his hand. You can't, it's impossible. Luke 8, I think verse 1. Is it verse 1? verse 18. Luke 8:18. It says, be careful therefore how you what? Hear. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given. And from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses, see, and supposes that he has, will be taken away from him. So let me read it from the Message translation. It's very interesting. Message said, so be careful that you don't become misers of what you hear. You know, miser? What's a miser? Huh? Somebody who, if you give him, he pockets it. If you give him money, he doesn't use it. So you say, if you're a miser, it's when God gives you his word, you don't use it. You can quote it all over the place, but you are not using it. He says, so don't be misers of his word. He says, so be careful that you don't become misers of what you hear. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. So when you become a miser of God's word, you are not deploying it. He says you become poor. It impoverishes you. So God won't give you more. Won't give you more. In New Living Translation, he says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what he says. Otherwise, you are only... Yeah, that's... I'm going ahead of myself. But you get what I'm saying, though. But that's what James is saying in James 1:22. He said, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what he says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. Now, what does the Holy Spirit say about prayer now that we're in the time of prayer? John chapter 15, verse 7. How many minutes do I have left? John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, if you remain in me, and my words, please, check, W-O-R-D-S, is plural. Again, you remember when we're talking on Sunday about our salvation, it says Jesus came to take away our sin, took care of our sin. He didn't say sins, sin. Because it's the nature. Now here, it talks about words, not word. Which means everything I taught you about life. It says, but if you remain in me and my words, everybody say words. Come on, say it louder. It makes the difference. My words remain in you. What will happen? You may ask for how many things? Anything you want, and what will happen? Now, if his words are not active in me, it means if I ask, I won't get it. I won't get it. If you like fast, do everything you want. Again, remember, God has his ways, though. He's telling us this is the way this thing works. But can we have a New King James Version? New King James Version. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So now, the condition is, if I abide in him, are we in Christ? Come on, church. Are we in Christ? Then what is the next condition? What is the next condition? And his words, what? What does it mean to abide? It's alive and active, controlling your thinking. It's not just that you have it dormant. It has to be active. It has to be controlling my thought, controlling my actions. He says, when it abides in me, you ask what you want. That'll be done for you. But now, and the Holy Spirit said, he that has ear to hear, let him hear what I'm telling you people now. Because some people might go out and they won't want to get the word in them. And they wonder why this thing is not working. Again, they can join the masses who think that you can wring the hand of God, that you can starve yourself 40 days and dry, and God be forced, And God says, I am the Lord, I change it what? No. Can't change. You can't change. You're not going to change. So if I find his word, everybody say find. That's what again the Holy Spirit said. He said, locate my word. Find it. Go study it. Go look for it. Look, find it. Search. If I find his word in Proverbs chapter 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them. There's the word find. Which means you look for it. Which means if I want to pray, I got to find the word that addresses the issues that I want to talk to God about. I find it. I look for it. Have you found one yet? Since we started this praying and fasting, have you found one yet? I told them yesterday at the prayer meeting, I said, if I were you, I would spend more time on the word than on prayer. After Smith Wigglesworth did all the miracles in this world, he did more miracles than any other person apart from Paul. He raised 10 people from the dead. And in fact, he said, look, Jesus said we should raise the dead. So if somebody dies, if you ever bring him there, he's raising the man from the dead. In fact, I heard how one of his friends took him to a family that lost a man just to go and greet the people. You know, just to greet them. You know how you go and greet them. And he walked in there. He didn't even greet them. He didn't talk to them. He walked past them to where the cuff, the stiff was. You know what stiff is? Huh? The dead body, what Americans call it stiff. He said, you know how they dress somebody? He didn't greet anybody. They brought him, let's go and greet the people that are lost. He walked in there, didn't talk to them, didn't talk to anybody. Just walked there, dragged the man out of the coffin. Dragged him out, he said, Jesus said, we'll raise the dead. Dragged him out, put him on the wall, boom, and said, I say in the name of Jesus, come and walk. The thing fell down. He carried him up again, put him there. He said, I say in the name of Jesus, you walk. The thing fell again. He carried the man with anger. I said, I say in the name of Jesus, come and walk. The man came alive. But with all that God used him to do, they asked him, he said, if there's anything I would do more to spend my time in the word of God. With all that. And brethren, you can ask if this is not true. Captain Kuhlman, God used that woman in tremendous healing miracles. But she said with her mouth, that 90% of people who got healed under his ministry, the sicknesses came back. Has anybody heard it from here? Anybody? Nobody else? You heard it? You heard it from her? 90% came back. The reason, they didn't have the word what? To stand in faith and fight it. You can get the miracle, but it may not last. Because the Bible says when the devil goes out, he was coming back. When he comes back, he sees empty place. He says, well, this guy has nothing in him. He go and brings other people and say, we're not living here now. And the Bible says the second stage of the person is worse. I want to tell you the truth. I don't want to frighten you. If the devil comes back, you give him room. It's difficult to deal with. It's tougher than the first time. You can deal with him. You got a fight in your hand. You can deal with him, there's no question about that, but you have a fight in your hand. So that's why these things we are teaching is very crucial, so that when it comes, he will find a place swept but not empty. Why? Let my word dwell richly. When it comes, he says, no, this is not empty. I can't deal with this guy. The word of God is dwelling there, settled there. And if he wants to knock you, you knock him on the head before he gets going. And so, concerning what we are teaching, the Bible says we must find the word relevant to the thing we are praying about. I want you to say with me, I must find. Say it louder. I must find the word of God relevant to what I'm asking. That's my authority to ask and say amen. So, the foundation of your faith is the word. The Bible says that faith cometh by what? Hearing. So if you remove, if I don't have the word of God on which I stand to pray, I will not have faith to receive. I won't even have faith to pray. Why? Because the devil will fight you with doubt. The enemy will fight every Christian, including me. He fights us with doubt, fights us with unbelief. He does that all the time. That's his modus operandi, to create doubt in your heart, to create, because he knows that if you doubt, you won't get anything. You understand that? So he fights us with doubt all the time. I don't care how Jim you think you have prayed. When you are done praying, he sneaks in, begins to put doubt in your heart. But when you have the word and you meditate on the word, you have something to stand upon to fight him back. Fight him back. And then you have the sword now. After this Sunday, the other Sunday, the Lord gave me what to preach. I haven't had this experience before. This is a new one for me. I'm just preparing something. I was preparing this. He said, he gave me things to preach on Sunday. He said, after this one, the other one, I wanted to preach. He teacheth my hand to walk. He said, preach it. He teacheth my hand what? To walk. He said, I want to show you how the Spirit of God taught the church to walk. But this Sunday is saved and what? Huh? Saved and what? Ah, how many of you remember what I said on Sunday? Saved and what? Is it healed? You are not sure. I won't tell you until Sunday. But let's continue where we are. So, you must find that word, because that's the word that gives, builds your faith. James chapter 1 verse 6. James chapter 1 verse 6. But let him ask what? In faith. Can we read that together? But let's go. But let him ask what? In faith. Okay, stop there. Let's read it again. But let him ask. I want to hear your voice. Let's go. But let him ask. Stop there. Now, where is that faith coming from? Which word? Is that not the word you find? Is it not the word you on purpose found? Is it not the word you found? Is it not you that will locate the word upon which you base what you personally believe? You can't have it open-ended and say, faith will come from the word in my heart. Which one is relevant to the situation we're talking about? Which one? I told them on Wednesday, I said, when you find this thing, at the word of God and start meditating on it seriously, then the Spirit of God, you see, there's a way to activate things around you spiritually. The Spirit of God begins to commune with you about that topic based on the scripture. He begins to enlighten you, and show you where and things you don't even understand. Then he will give you prayer topic. Praise the Lord. You know, when we are moving, I'm changing our name and everything. I was here, and the Lord said to me, I want you to pray that I will knit the heart of your this church together so they will believe that this thing you are doing is from me. He said, if you don't pray that, the devil will sneak in and tell them, this man is now building a church for himself. He said, be careful. I was standing. He said, pray that prayer. In all of this world, I wouldn't have thought up from that. He said, pray that prayer. That I will need their heart, what? Together. So that as one, you can move. He said, you better pray that prayer. Because I know what the enemy is planning. See, I wouldn't have thought of that on my own wisdom. Because I don't have reasons for that. But he told me that. He said, pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. That I will need their hearts together. That's how, when you meditate on these things, he will give you prayer topics you never even imagined. He will drop it in your heart things you never thought of. Mysteries of this world that is beyond you to fathom, to even understand. You know, when things get too deep, we say it's an ancestral spirit. We have this, you know, this easy way out. We dump it on something and get out. And what is happening is happening. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. So if you find this word that builds your faith, let him pray in faith. The faith comes from the word. And the faith comes from the word you found. Because my situation might be different. I'm looking for a word for something else. My need is different from your own. So I'm looking for what God said about my need. You are looking for what God said about what? Your need. And then as we are looking for it, it is that word I'm looking that concerns my need, that builds my faith concerning that area of my challenge. So I have to find the word. Because God says something about it. I have to locate it. So let him pray in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, you know what the wind is? What is the wind? What is the wind? Is the problem you have? Is that problem you have? The Holy Spirit calls wind of life. Jesus called the storms. He said the storms will come. The Holy Spirit says, if you don't have faith, you'll be doubting and be tossed by the wind, storms of life. It will toss you. Today you say, praise the Lord. Tomorrow you say, oh my God. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. Praise the. He said, if you keep doing that, verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive what? Which means his prayer is a waste of time. I mean, come on, church. God tells us what to do. He tells us how to do it. He said you won't get anything. If you like, fast from January to December, you won't get anything. Because you don't have faith to pray. And you don't have the word to base your faith upon. Perhaps your prayer is based on human reasoning and you go before God and be complaining. Instead of asking, you'll be complaining. Complaining to God. You know how this thing is bad. Is that prayer? Telling God this. This has been happening 20 years, Lord. You know, and sometimes asking, where are you? I'm here now. Because you ask me, you tell me I'm here. You know, sometimes we don't really ask. We go complain, mama, finish all of that and go. There's no word. We must change it and do it right. If you do it right, you pray in faith. When the thing tosses you, the devil will see to it. That's what it did to Peter. It does it to me. It does it to everybody. Once you start praying, believe you me, he will attack you with doubt. He will get things bad, get things worse. You hear all manner of stuff going on around you. And the noises, I call it, my wife called it noise. I call them noises. Start all that noise making. One time the Lord said to me, he said, that thing is demonic activity. He said, that demon, you know, he said, demon activity. I said, yeah, wow, that's what it is. You find all demon activities tossing, using circumstances to. Who even caused the circumstance to start with? Is it not him? Is it not him? So he uses it to try to turn you. But because you have the word, you anchor your faith in what God what told you. You go back there and meditate on it. And the Spirit of God illuminates you with understanding. The entrance of the word give it what? Light. And give out what again? Understanding. So you have understanding about that thing illuminated from heaven, not from your brain. Illuminated from heaven. You get result. If you don't pray in faith, say you won't get anything. So let's see other things that the Holy Spirit told us about prayer. Enter with confident trust in the Lord Jesus and not in yourself. And not in yourself. Enter with confident trust in who? I didn't hear you. Enter with confident trust in who? That's why it's important to study to know Christ. Because the more you know him, the more you can trust him. You can't trust who you don't know. And if your knowledge of him is not rooted and grounded, again, the enemy will come and... Here we go again, talking of belief. And all this cannot talk all over the place. And getting nothing anyway. Hebrews 10:19. I wish I know how many minutes more for me. It's not there. It's blank. It's not working. Oh, it's coming. By the time we finish, it will come. Let me ask you, are you getting anything? Okay. Hebrews 10:19. Dear brethren. Dear what? Brethren. Having what? Boldness to enter the holiest by. Can you put New Living Translation? It will help us better. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. I mean, again, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. He's telling us, if you want to pray, please come boldly because of the blood. Don't belittle the blood. Don't you belittle the blood of Jesus. Come boldly, trusting in that blood. Because of the blood, continue. By his death, Jesus opened a what? A new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Remember, the curtain used to be there, and the curtain was there because of the sins of the people. But when Jesus died, we didn't need the curtain no more. He shed his blood for the sins of the whole world, become a propitiation for our sins. And the Bible says, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So he said, through that curtain, he tore open the curtain, and then it is by his death. Again, remember, he said, because of his blood, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Verse 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, see why you should know who Jesus is, who he is to you. That's what he was asking his disciples. Who do men say? This question is relevant to me and to you every day. Who do you say Jesus is? Do you just talk about him, dance about him? But who is he to you? Now the Holy Spirit is telling us again, interpreting the cross for us and telling us the benefit we have through this thing. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Fully what? Trusting him. Why? For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with what? Pure water. He said you don't have to come with guilty conscience because the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. He said trust that blood now and go in there. And then Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Hebrews 3:12. It's not Hannah. Hebrews 3:12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hands are not evil and what? Unbelieving. Turning you away. So instead of going boldly, the unbelieving heart will turn you what? Away. Even though you can be kneeling down, but your heart is away. It's gone away. You can be kneeling down and talking, but you don't have boldness, you don't have confidence in this, in Jesus, you don't have trust in the blood. Why? Because of mine and your inadequacies. So your heart goes away because you don't feel adequate. You don't feel, which means the cross means nothing. Means nothing. Again, my mentor, I love that man. I told God, I said, God, please, don't let this man die until he has to lay hands on me. That was in Nigeria. I didn't even know I would come to this country. I didn't know. I didn't pray to come here. God just brought me here. So I said, Lord, please don't let him die. I want him to lay hands on me. I love that man. I'm not kidding. I love that man to pieces. So I prayed this prayer in my office, and we came here. I didn't even remember the prayer. And then some people came to us and said, there's a man coming to preach somewhere. The people want to go. I said, we're doing nothing. Just stay in the house from morning to evening. So we went. When we got there and he came out, it was him. It was him. It's now I realized it was Sarahville. I didn't know it was Sarahville then. I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know where we are. My wife and I took a walk to Main Street. And we're going home to West Orange. We ended in Newark. Because all the houses were looking the same. So we got, and we were walking confidently, and I told her, I said, we'll soon get home. We were walking on Park Avenue towards Newark. And Sister Chinwe, Uchi, was passing and saw us. I said, why are you people? Said, we're going home now. We're very close. He said, no, you're in Newark. So I didn't know what. But he came out, and I said, that's him. Listen to this. Pray, then God answers prayer. He said, God just changed my teaching and said to me, don't preach. Call all the pastors here and lay hands on them. My wife was there. He said, I was going to preach, but the Lord said, no. Call all the pastors here who are here. Lay what? I ran. That was what I prayed in Lagos. Why should I walk? I ran there. I stood in front, but I was so happy. I was standing like a newly married girl, standing like that, smiling. And the man came with his hand on my head. I said, Lord, this is amazing. So this is real. Few months after that, he passed away. He passed away. Yeah? Praise the Lord. So we must learn not to go in unbelief. We must be confident in who Jesus is to us. Brethren, I beg you, with all the love I have, pray that God will teach you about Jesus. It's amazing who he is. You haven't seen anything like that before. It will change your life, make you tender. I'm not kidding. Without effort. It will make you so humble. When you know what God did for you, your pride will be broken to pieces. It's too much. Paul said, nothing compares with the knowledge of knowing Jesus. Nothing. I don't care anything else. Forget about what you know. Knowing Jesus is in a class of his own. Will empower you like nothing else. Fear. You won't know fear no more because you know in whom you believe. You know who he is. You trust him. And when people are, you just look at people, you just keep quiet. Because you know the power he has. He's not a man. He is God. Can I hear amen? He is God. And when he says that thing, watch out. It's happening. It's happening. Praise the Lord. Four minutes more. So, we enter with confidence in Jesus, trusting in the blood, and not with evil heart of what? unbelief that makes you not embrace God. So my mentor told this story about some of his members where he was pastor. He said he used to have a deacon. The deacon was so well known, very, very always zealous, would stay, I don't want to say he stayed in front seat so people won't run away from front seat. But it was so, everybody knew her as the real holy Jinjin Christian. And then he said he had another member who people didn't even reckon with this family. They didn't even know much. He said they were so surprised that family, every single time they got sick, they got healed. He said it didn't take too much prayer. He said, I'll be praying for them. I won't finish the prayer, the sickness will go. He said, but my deacon and his family, not one person ever got healed. He said, I went to God. I said, God, this is, you have to explain this. He said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I could not sleep. And I woke up in the night. I said to the Lord, let's sort this out. How come my deacon is not healed? Eh? How come? And the Lord said, let me show you your deacon. And he said, God showed me in a vision what I didn't see with my physical eyes. He said, let me show you what I see. You don't see those things. That's why we are limited in knowledge. I'm telling you people, our sense of judgment is poor. What God sees, we don't see. And God said, God showed him. He said, let me show you your deacon. He said, I saw one time they were sick and they called me. I said, I was watching a live movie and I went there and I was knocking at their door and they didn't open the door. And I was knocking. They didn't open the door. I brought out something. I was hitting their door. All of a sudden they said, who is that? And I said, it's me. And my deacon said, oh, it's him. He said, God won't even heal us. Just another trial again. He said, I was watching it, hearing. Then the thing changed to the other family. He said, they will call me, somebody sick. He said, they will come outside and wait for me. Sir. He said, I'll be coming. They will run out. He said, Pastor, come, just pray. They'll be okay. He said, God loves us. This is the love of God. It's the mercy of God. Just you pray. He said, you see now, they'll get healed. He said, I won't even be half through my prayer. They'll be sick. All of them were healed. And the Lord said to me, you see, this is your deacon. If she's a Christian, I don't know. He said, because everything people did to her, she has a record of what? All of them. If she's a Christian, God said, if she's a Christian, I don't know. I will stop here. Next Thursday, wherever we stop, we'll continue. Because we have a lot to share about this. So that we pray on the authority of the word of God. I told you that when you know Jesus, you won't even have the heart to be a grudge. There will no space for it. The love of God is too powerful. You love your enemy very easily. In fact, you won't have any enemy. You won't have any enemy. See, sometimes when I want to do some things, I'm telling you what happens to me. Sometimes when I want to express some disagreement over certain things, I find myself doing exactly the opposite. Instead of going to say, look, I don't like this, and I come and say, no, it's okay, everything is easy. I find myself just doing that. And I go out of there full of joy. Because you don't know why people are doing what they're doing. You don't understand that. You can be condemning somebody who is guiltless and approving somebody who is guilty. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Does anybody have any questions?